hello to my little friend.
It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone.
Oh my God! The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
5 seconds left in the game. Over. You believe in miracles? Yes!
The Zone is sponsored by Fashion Furniture across from River Park and by Helena Agra Enterprises, LLC.
Swung on, hit the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes.
It's Friday, and you're in the zone. Here are your hosts, Nick Papagni.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
Hey, what are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man.
You are in the zone. That's what Nick would say. Nick Anderson, the big cat, is on location, so it's the Pagmeter. Matty J in the house. He's having right now. Matty J will be here in a second. But he's enjoying some of the beautiful DeChicos. Thank you to Mario Vitucci. Downtown, he's been in business since 1956. Mario Vitucci and, of course, that famous DeChico. We got the chicken all upon it today. The fantastic bread, the salad, DeChicos. Downtown, also on Sean Van Ness, Sean First, Clovis and Kings Canyon. So if you're hungry, stop on in. This is The Zone on a beautiful Friday afternoon. We'll be here until 5:30 because tonight it's opening night of baseball. Fresno State will be in town. What a beautiful night. Take your honey out to Valentine's night, and we'll watch a little baseball. It's a perfect night for baseball. It does get cold, let me tell you, because I've been watching plenty of high school baseball this week, and when that sun goes down, it gets a little nippy out there, so just plan on it. But the daytimes are beautiful. I want to thank Fashion Furniture, of course, here at the Fashion Furniture Studios at 940 ESPN. We're very fortunate. We are always on location because people like our show. They want us out with the public, and that's when you know you're doing a great job. Thank you to Fashion Furniture. The closeout sales are still going on. Get on over here this weekend and hang out with Fashion Furniture. Recliners, they've got the tables and chairs, the bedroom sets. Mike Boom Boom Mancini next door has you set with mattresses. If they don't have it, as Matt says, you don't need it. So hear it, and also want to thank Helena Agra Enterprises, Nick Anderson and the team. They do such a great job for local sports. I can't thank them enough. We're going to be doing a lot of high school basketball coming up. We're going to talk basketball today. We're going to have Pagmeter predictions, what I think that the seedings come out tomorrow, and we'll be talking basketball. We're also going to talk about a little story in the Central Coast. And I know we live in the California and everything's left, and you say anything and you're a racist. You're a racist, and that's how it started going. But we're going to talk about St. Joseph. They have some foreign exchange superstar players that come over. Not only do they have foreign exchange players, they're outstanding. So what's going on there? They had a basketball game the other night with Rigetti, and Rigetti's student body started saying, "Where's your passport?" Dun, 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 dun. And they started the chant going, and it really irritated St. Joseph, the administration, and everyone else, because I think they're feeling a little guilty about what they're doing over there. So we're going to talk about that. And no, there was no racist thing going on. Kids being kids, and if you don't like it, you can definitely call the show a little later, because I'm fired up about this. It's one thing about recruiting, but if you're going to start going after and have camps overseas with foreign exchange and bringing them over, yeah, I know when I play basketball in Bulgaria, the first thing I think of, St. Joe's. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that there you go. And all of a sudden, they're all showing up. We're going to talk about that. So get your phone calls ready, because I am fired up if you're against that. So, you know, it's one thing to recruit other players around here. It's one thing to go have a camp overseas. Also, the other, this is like, I'm calling it Hot Topic Heated Friday. We also have another big hot topic going on, and that is umpiring. And what's going on with the umpires? Don't we need to take care of these ladies and gentlemen who umpire our games? You know, you're sending your kids out to camps because you're hoping someday they play for the Dodgers, or they play football in Alabama, or they want to play for the Lakers. We don't worry about the officials. Dad, we don't have to worry about those guys. Let's don't even think about that. Well, we're going to think about it now because they're pissed off and we're not taking care of them. And I got Bobby Kajanian in the house right now. Before we get to Bobby Todd. Yeah, I know. Bobby Todd will join us in a second, who runs the He's part of the umpires in Tulare. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing great. Happy Valentine's Day to you, Mr. Fired Up Pag Meter.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that too, Valentine's Day. But Bob, umpiring going on. You've been in base in officials for a long, long time. How come we can't get this all settled?
Well, I tell you, they've got a legitimate gripe because the fees are low. Okay, the schools have a problem. They say they don't have the funding to, you know, increase the fees. I thought last year we made some headway in the negotiations. And for our listeners, the negotiations are kind of a complicated matter. You have a group from the administration that's superintendents, athletic directors, guys in charge of district athletes, athletics. And then you have representatives from all the associations here that have sports officials. And we go back and forth and haggle out a price. And we all thought we came out with a pretty good proposal. Well, we started those negotiations with everybody asking for the state average.
And what's that?
The state average, it could range anywhere from $65 to $85, depending on the sport. And since we're bringing up the topic of baseball, the state average in baseball is $77 per official.
Home plate or first base.
That's right, home plate or first base, because a lot of the sections pay the gentlemen or the ladies the same fee for working the bases and the plate.
So I'm also getting, we're talking with Bobby Kay, we're also getting that maybe up north there might be $100 a game.
Well, the largest fee that we have, that the negotiating group found, was L.A. pays $85 for their plate and $81 for their base guy. Okay, if you're talking about somewhere up in the north, the North Coast, they only pay $70. But they pay $70 for the base and $70 for the plate.
Well, let's bring up Bobby Todd now, who's out in Tulare. Bobby, how are you? You do the Kings in the Tulare area, so you're from Porterville. There's plenty of schools out there. Bobby, how are you? Do we got Bobby? Did we lose him?
No, I'm here. Nick, how are you?
JoJo? Oh, there we go. Bobby, there you are. Bobby, and I want to get this set up. If I have to be the middleman for this whole thing, we can take care of this thing to make all the officials happy. Let's do it. What's going on in Tulare? Because I know you guys aren't happy.
Yeah, I think Bob Kajanian kind of hit it on the head. We've got umpires here in our area, which we cover 25 schools, and I assign the umpires for those 25 schools. The umpires a year ago, when these negotiations started, took a proposal to the negotiating committee to let them know where our baseball group stood. So the schools and the negotiating committee had baseball's proposal from our area back in probably February or March of last year. And then as the negotiations went through the process, the state average, from my understanding, was flatly rejected by the negotiating committee of the schools. And after that, Nick, maybe Bob can speak to that. I wasn't a part of those negotiations. I don't know how they came up with the proposal, but I know in our area, the Central Valley Officials Association, and down in Bakersfield, the Kern County Officials Association, the representatives did not sign the contract because they were not agreeable to the contract.
Bob's right. Yeah, I think the only person that did sign the negotiating contract this year was SJVOA. And therefore, since there was a signature, the school people went ahead and said, you know what, we're just going to give them a one-year deal. We've got a new commissioner coming on board. We're going to go with a one-year contract. We're going to give everybody a $2 raise, and everybody else has just kind of fallen under that umbrella for the year so far.
Bobby, so we're talking with Bobby Todd, who runs he gets all the umpires out in different locations in the Kern area, Tulare, Visalia, Porterville. So right now you guys have a meeting and say, hey, well, okay, we see – it's not – first of all, we don't – We don't have a signed contract. It's a verbal, right? Right, Bobby?
Correct. Yeah, to my understanding, correct.
So what does that tell you then, Bob? What to make everyone happy, if CIF was listening and the school board's listening and all the administration, what would make everyone happy right now?
Well, what would make everyone happy is the umpires would show up for games and kids got a chance to play.
Right.
Okay. I don't know exactly what it's going to take to make the Tulare umpires happy. Bakersfield umpires are working the games. Northern area SJVOA umpires are working the games. I know that Bobby Todd has, offered games, and some people, to my understanding, some people have accepted games, and some people just flat said, sorry, I'm not available at that time. Is that right, Bobby Todd?
Yeah, and to piggyback off that, we have 13 schools in our area that are currently paying the umpires the state average in which they are asking. 13 schools. There were 17 prior to last Friday. However, the four Visalia Unified School District schools who had agreed to pay the higher rate of fee reversed course. And the reason they reversed course was because they got an email from the section commissioner, Jim Critchlow, who threatened sanctions against any high school that paid the higher rate of fee to the umpires. Those sanctions range from fines, but what I'm hearing from the athletic directors is that the sanction that they feel threatened by is the loss of playoffs. For whatever reason, 13 schools realize and understand that there is no written contract in place between the CBOA and the negotiating from the schools. Therefore, the threatened sanctions from the section office, they are basically thumbing their nose at, because they know with no contract in place, they have every right to negotiate with any officiating group that they choose and want to. Games are being assigned in this area. Schools that have agreed to pay the higher rate of fee have umpires. Some schools who are not paying the higher rate of fee are still getting umpires. Some of our umpires have agreed to work for last year's fee plus a $2 increase. And that's where we are right now. As of right now, no games have gone unplayed. There have been some games that have been moved from our area up to the Fresno area. And that, I think, is a travesty. Because under the threatening of sanctions from the CIF commissioner, this is now costing school districts money. Because they fear that they will not be eligible for playoffs, they are moving games out of the area. And if anyone knows anything about school transportation costs, it is not cheap. I would venture to guess, and having been a former athletic director and having been a former school board member for the Exeter High School District, I can tell you the minimum cost to send a bus from Visalia to Fresno on the low end is probably going to be about $800. Mount Whitney had to move two baseball games on Tuesday. A JV and a varsity game that they were scheduled to play at home had to play up at Sunnyside High School and had to get transportation. Now, if that transportation cost $800, which it roughly did, all Mount Whitney would have had to pay would have been $40 above what they were paying last year. That's what the officials are asking for. And because of threat from the section office, Mount Whitney decided to move those games. That's a cost to the taxpayer and the district. There is no contract in place, and they are getting mixed messages from the section office stating that there is a signed contract in place, which there is not. And I don't understand the position and the stance the commissioner and the section office have taken. Basically, Nick and Bob, they are misrepresenting themselves to the schools that they are supposed to be looking out for.
It's kind of tough to defend that, because that's what's happening, and there's nothing in place to stop the CIF, and there's nothing in place to stop the schools from going out and getting their umpires. It's almost like the NC2A. They're going to do what they want to do.
So let me ask you guys, why does the CIF even involve with that? If they're not paying the bill, right, the schools are?
Schools pay the officials.
So why is the CIF involved with anything to do with the officials?
Well, in my understanding is they're the middleman. They're the pag meter in this discussion today, because they bring the schools and they bring the officials associations together, and they oversee the contract that is, you know, written out between them.
Talking with Bobby Todd as well from Kings County. Maybe we can have hope. Maybe if Jim is listening, maybe he can call in and we can get this. I want to get it straight today. What I just want to know, what is going to make all the? You've got SJVOA. We got Bobby Todd's group. We got Bakersfield's group. What else? We got Clovis.
No, yeah.
How many groups are there? Five.
There's five, six, seven different accredited groups in the area. Now, one of the points is very, very, very interesting, because SJBOA was the only group to sign the contract. So they're obligated.
So they actually signed the contract.
My understanding is Randy Wright, the president, signed the contract. I don't know for sure if Joe Kitchen, the CSOA president, has signed the contract, but from what I remember, and Bobby Todd is correct, Bakersfield and Tulare Kings did not sign the contract.
So what does that mean then?
So what it means is that they have verbally agreed that they'll follow the pay scale. Now, the baseball group in Tulare, they're a whole separate entity. They're their own entity. And if they didn't sign the contract, as Bobby mentioned, then therefore they could probably go out and negotiate with anyone they want. And if only one group had actually signed it and everyone else kind of verbally agreed to it, well, the one group that signed it is under the contract. And the rest of people are going to go out and negotiate as they have, as according to Mr. Todd has told us. So, yeah. We're kind of caught in a rock and a hard place.
Well, let me ask Bobby then. Bobby, so would you not agree to the SJVOA if they sign it, just go with whatever they're getting paid? Would that make you guys happy?
Well, I would think not, because SJVOA has accepted a rate lower than the state average, and our baseball umpires, the majority of them, not all of them, but the vast majority of them have stated to us that they will not be willing to work for anything below the state average. I would venture to guess that just because SJVOA has signed a contract, that's going to have little disregard to the umpires that I assign baseball games to, because it is below the average, the state average, which is what they are seeking.
So, Bobby, what you're saying is someone went in there, signed a contract, but the team behind them was not happy with them signing that contract.
Well, I think what's going on is you have, and this is what's difficult when it comes to negotiations with the central section, and I think Bob would probably agree. You know, it's very difficult sometimes for all three areas of the section to get together and to agree upon anything. And obviously this is a case in point right here. You have the SJBOA who has signed on to what they thought was a fair contract, but you have the KCOA and the CVOA failing to sign onto that contract for whatever reason, issues or things maybe we don't know about. It's just difficult, and I think Bob would agree, when you have so many entities involved, because each one of our areas has its own separate issues. You know, Bakersfield has issues that are pertinent to them. We have issues that are pertinent to us. And up in Fresno, SJVOA and CSOA have issues that are pertinent to them. And they're not all the same issues. So when it comes time to negotiate contracts, it's not always easy for everyone to sit down in the same room to come up with a consensus and to agree upon, you know, what all the groups think is fair.
Yeah, Bob Todd, you are absolutely 100% correct. I've said for years, when it comes time to negotiate the contract, the school negotiating team should negotiate with each area separately. They need to negotiate with the people in the north, negotiate with the people in the central, and negotiate the people in the south area, because of exactly what you just said. We all have different things that we have to address, and to try to get everyone to agree to everything, it just doesn't work. And you're 100% right. again, I will say it, we should have separate negotiations because the issues that face the North with Clovis and Fresno and each of them having their own demands aren't even close to what you need in Bakersfield or Tulare.
So when you say demands, the travel or what?
It's not necessarily travel, but like, for example, Clovis, okay? Absolutely great programs, absolutely great facilities, but yet they want observers at every one of their games. They want the officials observed at every one of their games, okay? So if that's the case, and we put that into a contract, look at the burden we put on Tulare and look at the burden we put on Bakersfield. What if those people don't have officials that can go out and observe? Well, then
why do you need to observe? I don't understand that.
Well, you know, they want...
I've never heard that before.
The theory behind that is, Nick, is that if someone's out watching the officials, they're going to perform better.
Well, how about this idea? And I'm not a videoologist. Let's put a video camera out there.
Well, there is video. Every one of those coaches film those games, okay?
I just don't make sense.
They film the games, and I will just tell you, at the collegiate level where I handle the officials now, if there is a problem on a play, I get sent a clip, I share it with the officials, we respond back to the school. There's no ability to do that at the high school level.
Well, let's make this simple. If they want to pay for an observer, then let the schools pay for it. If not, they get what they get. I don't understand.
I agree.
This is crazy to me.
I agree.
You're going to send a bus all the way from El Diamante to Fresno High School for $1,000, plus you got to feed the team. You got to bring them back for $40. School districts, what are you thinking about? Let's get this done.
Yeah, Nick, and Bob, and again, I want to piggyback off this, and this is very important for the listener to understand. The vast majority of the schools in our area that I serve as umpires for are agreeable to the increased rate to pay the umpires the state average. And then a couple weeks ago, the section office stepped in and sent a message to those schools. And in the message basically said this, that there is a signed, agreed-upon contract between the officials group, CBOA, and the schools, or the officials group in the whole section and the schools. Therefore, if you contract at a higher rate of fee, you will be in breach of a contract. There is no contract. The commissioner knows there is no contract, and he still tells the schools that there is a signed written contract. We had two members of our baseball board meet with the commissioner last Tuesday up in Porterville at the section office. Our board members asked to see a copy of the contract. Now the commissioner stated to them, well, I don't have a copy of the contract. It is in Bakersfield right now being signed. Well, he sent an email out 3 weeks ago saying there is a signed agreed upon contract. If there is a signed agreed upon contract, why would that contract be in Bakersfield being signed on that Tuesday? Both board members were there to discuss this issue with the commissioner. This is what is going down and going on in this area. The commissioner is giving information to the schools that they're patently false information he's giving to them. And most of the schools have seen past that. They do not look at that letter as a threat because they realize there is no contract. They are negotiating on their own, and there are 13 schools paying our umpires the state average. There are other schools out there who had agreed to pay the state average. Again, the four Visalia Unified schools, Mount Whitney, El Diamante, Golden West, and Redwood, up until last Friday. Then they changed course again because of the letter that the commissioner sent, basically threatening sanctions and withholding playoff games from them. So we had 17 schools and then three or four more schools whose athletic directors I have spoken with, and I've been on the phone with athletic directors constantly for the last 3 weeks. Their fear is the sanctions of loss of playoff games because the commissioner continues to march to the mantra of there is a signed contract. There is not a signed contract. He knows there's not a signed contract. He is giving these schools false information, and the school districts now who have to move games out of the area are spending money, not just their money, taxpayer dollars. That is a travesty.
Bobby, let me ask this question. Are the schools that said, hey, we'll pay it, are they paying the same fee to both the plate umpire and the base umpire?
Yes, they are paying a $77 rate for the plate and base umpire at the varsity level, and they're paying the same $65 rate to the plate and JV base umpire.
Well, Bobby,
so they are paying the state average. Go ahead.
You've done a great job negotiating with your schools and getting them involved, and a great job of backing your umpires. And let's hope that this becomes something that each section will now do coming into the future to negotiate with their schools. Because I will tell you this, I've talked to a lot of people up in this area. You know, I'm well connected with the athletic directors, and they have the same feeling. They would just assume pay with the officials what is going on, because the bottom line is, and Nick and, you know, Matt Johnson, who will be here shortly, will probably all agree, the number one thing is we want kids to play the games.
Well, how about this idea, Bobby? And Bob's here and Matt's here and hopefully Jim is listening. Let's do it this week. Next week, if not the following week, I don't care. Let's figure out a Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll go to the Chico's. We'll sit down. This thing should be done by the time the main meal shows up. And if we can't do it, there's something wrong. Well, I don't understand. We can't figure out and say, for an extra $12 or whatever it is a game, let's get it going.
Hey, Nick, it's very simple. If the commissioner would just get out of the way, the schools would pay the higher rate of fee here, and every game would be serviced with umpires, and every game would be played, and every kid would have umpires from our association working their games. It's that simple. He refuses to do so.
Why is this, Bobby, why is it only in baseball? Is softball we're okay, or basketball we're okay, and football and lacrosse and all the other sports?
Well,
just baseball.
Well, as far as I know, in our neck of the woods here in the Kings Tulare County area, there are other sporting groups, officiating groups, that are probably paid below the state average. I don't know what their motivation is to continue to work for less than the state average. If they're happy with that, they're happy with that. You know, it's interesting. I've talked to a few athletic directors in our area, and they see the common sense approach in this. And their attitude is, why don't we do this? For future negotiating purposes, let's give all the officials groups the state average. Then any time to give the officials a raise, their raise will be predicated upon either the cost of living or the cost of raises that go along with school districts. So if a school district gets a raise, officials groups get a raise. Now, this isn't coming from me. This is coming from athletic directors in our area. Now, if they have that common sense approach, it sounds like we could get something done. We just need to get people who have no business being involved with this situation to just get out of the way and let the schools and officials do their job.
I'm personally setting the meeting up. I will be the, whatever you call it, I'll be the Don King of the mitigators, and right in the middle, and I'll bring Matt, and we'll eat, and we're going to set it up. I invite every umpire program to come out, because I don't want to get where we get this all set, and all of a sudden the SGVA, there are 500 people in that group go, wait a minute, we didn't want the minimum or whatever the whole state is at $77 a game. We wanted $97, and then they're not going to work. I want to get everyone on the same page. So, Bobby, I'm inviting you, Bob, Maddie. I'm going to personally invite Jim Critchlow, and who else we got to get? You tell me, Bobby, and who else is on the list? Let's do it.
Well, I would say you need to talk to Joe Kitchen and Mark Roberts out of Bakersfield. They're pretty well in tune to what's going on as well.
So we got to meet in Visalia, halfway point maybe.
Maybe.
All right. Bobby, is that good with you?
Hey, we'll I'm sure we can figure something out with our officiating groups. Like I said, this baseball issue would be resolved if the section office just stepped back. It's that simple. Again, they choose not to. And again, it's a detriment to the kids. You know, it's the section office that always preaches, we're in this for the kids, we're in this for the kids. Yet you threaten sanctions against schools to threaten to hold playoff games from kids because a school decides to pay what they want to pay umpires. Now you tell me the hypocrisy in that.
Well, we're going to sit down and figure this all out. I'm Italian, and this is what Italian people do. We get in the middle, and we take care of problems. And Maddie will say that too. Look, he's over there shaking his head as he eats the Chico's. That's why I think of the Chico's, because I think we have to eat. It calms people down when we're having lunch with food on the table. So, Bobby, I will get a hold of you. We will set this up. And thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Keep me updated.
All right, guys. Have a good one. All right. Take care, guys.
See you later, Bobby.
He's fired up. I love that. He's fighting for his people out there. You know what I mean?
He's doing a great job. He's got a lot of integrity. He knows the game. He knows officiating. He was a very good official himself. So he's the whole package down there. He's good for those people.
Okay, Matt, you're a football guy. Is this a no-brainer? Can we fix this by the end of lunchtime?
It should be an easy fix. We're not talking. This is where Bobby Todd. I've never met Mr. Todd. I've never met. Maybe I have. If I have, for Bobby Todd, if he's listening, I apologize. Let me just make it very clear. I'm a businessman. I've been business my whole life. I live in the public lifestyle now, of course, working for Madera Unified School District. I worked at Fresno Unified School District. Bobby Todd said one thing that everyone better start taking notice on right away, whatever side you're on. If there was a school that had to reschedule somewhere, get transportation to come up with the bill, Bobby Todd put a number to it. I'm dealing in the world of football all the time, talking to my athletic director. What's it going to cost for us to get a charter or a school bus to take us to Templeton on the coast, one of our football opponents next year? The savings alone in making bad moves transportation-wise in one single trip could help pay for a quarter to a half of what the kind of money we're talking about if you spread it out over the whole deal. So when Bobby Todd talks numbers, and like I said, I say that because I was a business guy. When you kind of come to our company and talk numbers, you tell me where the savings is at. You tell me where we're going to find another $4, whatever the difference is right now. You're kidding me right now. I can find that in a couple trips from Visalia to Fresno to play a baseball game.
They got a snack bar.
Fix that. Are you kidding me right now?
Yeah.
It can't be that difficult.
I just don't understand why.
Having said that, don't include me in the negotiation. Okay, you're throwing my name out there like Matt and I and Bobby K. Yeah, Bobby K. Great, love him. Don't be including me in some kind of union.
I put you involved when there's food involved.
Last time I got involved in an officials deal, I lost. I went to another school afterwards. So I've had enough of hearing about. Although it is such an important topic. By the way, great radio for you two guys driving in from Madera listening. Riveting stuff. It was like I was listening to an episode on 60 Minutes, that there you could be something that seems so, I don't want to say simple, nothing simple, but if what Bobby Todd is talking about, if the CIF office and that group could just get out of the way, they'll have this thing figured out in 24 hours. Let's do that.
It's tough enough just to get umpires to on your team, because we've got a whole bunch of games. I need to get some young people out there. Now you got this problem, Bob.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, I have a solution to some of these problems. I just wish that somebody would listen.
Well, we're listening. You're on the air. 50,000 watts. And I think there's some extra watts out there.
Before Bobby goes to his solution, hold that solution, because I got to get this out, because mine is tongue-in-cheek. And we'll take a break, and we'll come back with Bob on this. I have a solution, okay? Why don't you call up the Houston Astros and the Red Sox and get them to pitch in, and I'm sure they can come up with the difference. Because they owe a community of baseball money back.
Why?
That's all I got to say. We're going to take a break.
Why? Well, we'll talk about why when we come back.
Yeah, can we take a break, please?
Yeah,
we'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to
940 ESPN, your Central Section sports leader. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I believe we're back. JoJo in the studio. It's the PAG meter, and along with Maddie J, Nick Anderson on location at the coast. Talking with Bobby K, but I do want to thank Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone, River Park. It's the January clearance. It's still going on. Matt, so many things on sale, but this is, if you just walk one lap in here, you will never see anything else like this ever.
Ever. It's the Palatial Palace. I call it Fashion Furniture. It's a palace.
It really is.
Nothing like it in all of California. You know you've arrived when you come into this place.
What a partner.
Right,
you know, we're so fortunate, Matt. You and I are well-liked, so people want us out on site, and I like that. Believe it or not, Bob's shocked when I say that, but we never do shows inside. We're always out with the public.
That's right,
so we are the local guys. This is what I like to do, and Fashion Furniture is local. Helena, local. We got Collier's International is local. We got all our sponsors that are local, Matt.
Might have heard of DeChico's.
DeChico's. How about the chicken alla pana today? Oh, you didn't get much because the fettuccine alfredo.
How about a little outfit called Bowman and Insurance, okay?
I mean, local. We can go on and on about our beautiful sponsors. They love it, or the Zone. They love the Rise. And also, you said DeChico's. Mario Bertucci, outstanding. I think you made this for my birthday today. I don't know, but Mario, great job.
It was
job.
Very good. It was my first meal of the day. I want to hear from Bob Kajanian on. He's got a solution to this officials.
For baseball.
Nightmare.
Let's wrap
for
this up in a good note. Go for it, Bob.
Hey, listen, baseball, I think we've beat that horse to death. I'm going to talk to you about a solution for softball. Because softball is down. I mean, when I'm telling you down, they're down to maybe one umpire at each game.
Oh, boy, that's not good.
It's not good because it's not fair. It's not fair to the umpire. Okay, and B, it's not fair to the kids and the teams and all the work they put into it. So what do you think would happen if we let the softball players play a doubleheader and have the two umpires that were scheduled for the game both work both games? So here's what I'm talking about. I'm going to use Fresno Unified as our example. Fresno Unified buses pick up students. Matt, you remember this when you were at Fresno Unified. They pick up the students at 1:45 to take them to their site. Okay, so I'm at, let's just say I'm at Edison High School. And I get picked up at 1:45, and I got to go to Roosevelt. Okay? They're going to drop me off there about 2 o'clock. All right? The game's not scheduled for 3:30. So what are those student athletes doing on a campus for an hour and a half? All right? So they're warming up. They're, you know.
Getting in trouble, hanging out in areas. School is still going on. We've got a foreign invader on our campus. Hello.
Well, first of all, most great teams are out there batting practice and getting ready.
Let's do this. Matt, let's do this. Nick, let's do this. Let's let the varsity team start at 2:30.
Right.
That means they got to get there at noon.
No.
They're not starting at 2:30 if they're getting off the bus at 2. I know you guys have both never played baseball or softball.
No, stop it. No, you can get all that done. I know what you're talking about in the warm-ups and all that. You can get most of it done before you ever get on the bus and get ready to go play. You can speed up play. Here's the thing is what I think where Bobby's going with, okay, because I've always been astonished by this. And it's not just softball, but we're going to try to help repair that. What time are you guys leaving? Well, because of transportation situation, varsity game starts at 7. We're going to go ahead and leave with the JV at 2 o'clock. What? Yeah, and we're just going to sit in the gym, or we're going to find something to do. What? How's that any different? I know baseball, you got to take infield, you got to do what you guys all think is just getting ready for a baseball or softball match. Granted, it doesn't take that long, and let's not kid ourselves. Half the time has been sitting around on your can, relaxing. I go to these games just like you. Are you out of your mind? There's more downtime at these games when they arrive at that time.
So if you get off the bus at a football game at 6, let's start at 6:15, you're ready to roll?
No.
What's the difference? You're not taking baseball and softball serious.
No.
That's a perfect example of a non-baseball softball player.
No, here's the story. If the softball game starts at 5, some start at 6. You're acting like they don't start early. If I'm already there because of the bus schedule, because they got to have the school bus back, got to pick up the late start or the regular release of students, you got to pick up the late schedule. The bus, it's hard. Transportation, I work down there at times. I see them. It's difficult. So if you get your team there, all we're talking about is a doubleheader. Let's get the game kicked off at 3, 3:30. You get done with that one, then we're going to play again at 6. Whatever it is, 6:30.
Well, most Fresno Unified all start at 3:30. So I don't understand the issue here.
Well,
set it back.
The issue is, Nick, is that the varsity starting at 3:30, the JVs are starting at 3:30,
right,
and the freshmen are starting at 3:30. So now you need six umpires to cover that. If you can play a doubleheader, all right, and play your freshmen on a different date, then you only need two.
Well, I don't know about field situations. I don't know about all that. You'd have to bring ADs in for that.
Well, certainly, yeah. It's not a concrete. There's some more, obviously, discussion we'd have to have.
Okay, the other question is for Bob and Matt. Why we just can't get people want jobs in the afternoon? Because that's really a lot of money for some college students going to Fresno City or Fresno State to make. I don't even, what do they pay for softball umpires?
Well, That's $60-something, maybe it's $70.
For 2 hours?
Yeah, it's $67 to do the plate, $56 to do the bases. Here's the situation run into.
What do you mean for 2 hours? You've got travel. You're getting the per diem for gas and allowance to get there?
No.
Okay, so it's don't say it's a two-hour deal. These guys who do football.
Three.
Yeah, okay, three and four, then the drive out of there, location where you're at. Let's call it a four-hour gig. You got to cut out 4 hours. You leave work early or whatever they do, they got to leave.
Yeah, more 3 hours.
That's not the issue. But what Matt just said is right. If you got to get off work at 2 o'clock, you have to take a half a day's pay cut. That what you're the fee you're making as an umpire isn't going to make up for the fee you're losing.
For students, though, for young students out there.
Okay, well, I just got done with an event we do in Madera Unified, one of the greatest things ever. It's a youth elementary school, Mules we call it. It was flag football, the end of the tournament. They've been playing on Fridays for a while now. And who referees, who's officiating those deals? My guys, football guys, juniors, sophomores, freshmen, few seniors. They're not very good officials. Let's not kid ourselves. They're high school kids playing. So hey, let's bring to the big match. Hey, Clovis North, Clovis West, a big one. Yeah, you're going to bring out, 19-year-old freshman doesn't know anything about anything. Then you start watching coaches complain about these officials are horrible.
When the hell are they going to start then?
Horrible.
I'm going
they
to Fresno
go,
City. And
they,
I, you know what? I got afternoons
they
off.
Can go,
I want to go do two games a night.
They can go
can make
up
$100.
The ranks. They can go work. Babe Ruth and Little League and Saturday deals. I know the football. I see a lot of young kids out there working Saturdays with our junior highs in Madera.
Can make some good money.
Don't go out there for a big contest and it's, rights for the next track championship or the CMAC championship. And you've got, Sally from Fresno State, who's an econ major that played a couple years maybe when she was a kid.
I'm not an umpireologist.
You need people trained.
But I guarantee they're going to be trained. It's better than working at Arnie's Burger Shack, going over there and working 6 hours for $3 an hour. They're going to enjoy being officials.
I think we're going to take a break. I thought I heard that. Let's take a break.
Well, Bob, great job. Keep up the good work for us.
Sure.
You do that?
Yeah.
Because you're coming to the meeting with me when we have our umpires meeting.
Now, Bobby K knows how it's to sit over on my side of the aisle. It's not easy when you're dealing with this PAG monster.
Well,
this guy's not easy to deal with.
All you got to do is remind Mr. PAG meter, okay?
Yes.
Even though he's reached that number that, puts you into close to the but discounts,
Did he thank you yet for the speech?
He did.
Yeah,
he did.
It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable.
Let me ask you this. You play some Sunday old man baseball, right?
Yeah, sure do.
How would you like to have a 17-year-old kid behind a plate dead in the strike zone?
Well, why don't you train him first?
Well, wait a minute.
I mean, I don't understand.
Don't think he wants that 17-year-old that doesn't know the strike zone.
Well,
he's
do
on
I
the
want
mound.
The 17-year-old working at Arnie's Burger Shack when I go take my family to dinner? I think they're going to train. I think they're going to train him how to cook a burger.
Let's not bash the food service industry. It's a great, great. As a matter of fact, the number one employer in the United States of America is the food service industry. Arnie's Burger Shack's pretty good.
Okay,
but they have a good chef back there,
don't they?
Okay, fine. Let's take a break.
All right, Bobby. Thank you so much. Coming back, we're going to talk a little the St. Joseph deal going on. We got a lot to talk about. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Zone Show on a Friday. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We are live here at Fashion Furniture El Paso Blackstone. I'm Bob Kiajanian. It's the PAG meter. It's Matty J here at Fashion Furniture El Paso Blackstone. It's President's Day sale going on all through Monday, and they got some tremendous things, Matt. I know you were walking around looking at a lot of things.
I always am. You can never – it's like going to Disneyland twice a year or whatever, and you think you've seen it all, and you just continue. Oh, my gosh, I didn't see that they have a special little room you can go into. This is an amazing experience to be over here, and it always is always fresh. I've been doing this so long with you and dealing with Rod and the great folks at Fashion Furniture for so long. But it never gets old. This is one of the bright spots of my working life, to come in here and see the happy faces, to see the operation at its best, and then to see the displays and how they lay out the furniture in these great showrooms. Unbelievable.
I want to thank Helena Agri Enterprises. They're really focusing now on local sports, which I love because that's what you and I do. I think they finally realized, hey, local sports is the greatest show in town. So they want to be focused more on that. I love that. Thank you to Helena family.
Well, they understand that you're dealing with, I call it the payback syndrome, where, families, when you're supporting local and you're working with certain groups like here at Fashion Furniture, stay in that family. They take care of you. You scratch their back, they scratch yours, and they continue to put that in to the experience that you and I are involved in with high school. They continue to support local sports. They continue to support not just Fresno State, but the junior colleges and all the way down to what we do. Most of the time, you and I, our experience in the world of high school athletics and junior high schools.
Hey, I want to give a little shout-out. Congratulations to Fresno State women's basketball. Mountain West champions. Jamie White is one heck of a coach. You notice she'll go in at halftime trailing, maybe one or two up, down, whatever. They get it done in the fourth quarter. Great job.
I like that it could have been late. You can say that it was late. But this is a basketball program, the women's team over at Fresno State. We should have been on top of this thing. Because if you could imagine, you know, let's be fair, and if we all want to be gender equity and make sure things are as fair as they possibly can be, it's not like the men's team and the women's the crowds aren't where they want to be right now. But the women's team, when you win that many ball games, undefeated in Mountain West, could you imagine if the men's team was doing that? So I think that I believe we've caught on now. I believe that we've started to recognize that we have a top-notch team, a team that is most likely going to be an NC2A qualifier, a team that has built a special culture. I loved listening to the CG show the other day, and he was interviewing the assistant coach who played basketball in Montana and all that. And I think it was just listening to her talk in that interview, it's about the program, what they stand for, and what's Coach White's technique. I think we've got a very, very special group of players and, of course, great coaching staff going on, obviously, in our women's program.
Well, we don't talk a lot about it. CG does a good job on that. They don't have any local girls playing. We talk about the girls that are coming in playing if we have
to. That's a big thing.
Nick brought up a great point. He goes, Nick, I was so touched. There was about 50 little girls and their families listening to us on the radio about Megan Anderson and Danae Marquez coming back to Fresno State, you know, defending national champs. They won the thing in Clovis West. And he goes, boy, it was such a movement because there was 4,500 fans at that game. And it helps it when you and I start pumping up things. Believe it or not, we do a pretty good job for local sports. But I want to say congratulations. And also baseball starting. I like when Fresno State has local people. The baseball team is full of local, and the softball team is fantastic this year with tons of local sport or players. A lot of former Pagmeter All-Stars out there.
Yes. We talked budgets. We talked about the officials down in Tulare concerned about, you know, getting equal pay to fair for the average of the state of California. If you're limited in college, which obviously most colleges are, to go on these global recruiting efforts. I'd love to know how does that work? We need to, you know, get primarily through a CG show or someone else, they need to talk a little bit more about the Australian pipeline and the foreign pipeline they've got going in. Before we segue into St. Joe's and the experience that you just had in that deal about foreign exchange students playing high school basketball, but they've got a lot of foreign exchange students from this Australia and other countries coming into Fresno State. I'd be fascinated to find out how you cultivate that pipeline and how that works. But when you have local, talented, let's use the girls' basketball game in high school, that go on to college, and the two you just mentioned, Danae Marquez, Megan Anderson, coming back from San Jose State, that's huge. That's huge. Let alone the fact that San Jose State's having a pretty good year in basketball for their girls. So they come out here, and we talk about them a little bit, and that's not a slight to Fresno State. That's a promotional marketing package that maybe Fresno State from back door could have used that as one of their selling techniques and thrown it out there and not promote San Jose State to a T, but no one knows where that information's coming from. Sell that, because ultimately who wins when people come to the games here at Save Mart?
Everybody.
We do. Our community wins. So we should be promoting when you've got two local outstanding national champions now playing for a different college. We're not promoting San Jose State to beat Fresno State. We're excited and happy as you can be that they continue their winning ways at Fresno. But need to talk about stories like that because that's who we specialize in. We watch those girls come through junior high school to high school, and now they're getting it done in college.
I get excited because I follow these athletes when they're probably freshmen, maybe eighth grade. I see them all the way through. And when they get to play at the next level, Matt, I get excited about it. I love when even if they're on the road, but when they actually come back to play in Fresno, it is a lot of fun to watch, and Fresno State is on fire. They could get another shot at San Jose State because now they got to go to Las Vegas for the Mountain West Tournament, and that's going to be a lot of fun. So You got to somehow figure out your ringer, how to turn that other thing off. But you'll learn someday.
Why would I want to do that? Because I found out when I turn it off.
You forget to turn it back
no,
on.
No, not just. Yeah. And I miss everything. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you answer your phone.
So I do want to thank you for, we had a, before we talked about the foreign exchange in St. Joe's and all that, what a big story we had this week. But thank you for emceeing my birthday dinner. We had a surprise party, and you guy had no idea, and I'm not happy that you didn't tell me. You could have snuck in and said, hey,
couldn't do it.
Your wife's throwing a little party. Just act surprised when you walked in. Then that way you can prepare for your... But it turned into a comedy roast.
Well, I that was the plan, by the way. Yeah, I'm glad you got that. You figured it out. It was run like a regular comedy roast. As you're wearing my gift, your shoes, they look good on you.
Look good.
You know how hard it was to find the red and the black Adidas look like that?
That's my Pag Meter.
Which
color.
I was thinking, I got to find like something kind of St. Louis Cardinal and Pag Meter.
You were first class. Everyone loved you.
But anyway, that was a tribute. Thanks for that. But that was a tribute truly to your wife, Lori. And to the daughters
Gianna.
And the family and Gianna, they did such a spectacular job. My job wasn't much at all. My job was to make sure that we honored your party, and it's a special night like that, in the right way. And having the bonus of having Rex Hudler staying in town to go to the party, he committed to it. And then so many of your locals. See, the great thing about you that I can never say about myself, I've been here a while in this community, but this is your town. This is where you were born and raised and played sports growing up with the Mike Rhines and the great guys over in Tenaya Park and all these great stories you had with the Papoulias family and all the friends that you had from Mike Jameson and those guys. I don't have any stories like that because I went to four different high schools. My dad was in aerospace. We moved probably every 3 years to a new state. And I never developed the kind of bond that I felt that evening. So anyone else out there that has that special relationship with guys you went to elementary school with and now you're, you know, still seeing each other at Christmas holidays or you're going out to funny events like that to kind of watch how we've grown. That's 60 years. And by the way, the last thing I want to say about you, which I did not say that evening because everybody knows you, but for the people that don't know you, by my calculations, you've played organized sports. I'm talking about not, you know, hey, let's go down to the, you know, Dan Gamble's and play racquetball. I'm talking about, no, part of leagues, tournaments, going to world championship, baseball. You've been playing the bat and ball sports for about 54 to 55 years, 54 years of really starting to get after it. That's over 50 years of every season lacing up the
not
shoes.
Not very smart.
That's unheard of, though. Who can go out
can
and
we play golf now? Can we just go hit
well,
the golf ball?
Yeah, we'll do that forever. Okay. I'm talking all about right. What guy – I stopped when I left USC and had my dabble of four teams and three different seasons trying to find my way in the NFL – when I was done, I was done. All my buddies would call me Thanksgiving. Oh, dude, you're my ringer. You got to come to it. We're having a Thanksgiving turkey bowl game in the mud out in San Diego. You got to be there for this. It's us against the school from Sweetwater. Dude, when I said no more to my agent, I'm not thinking about getting in any more pickup games of any sort. But you continued.
Well,
50-plus years of playing at the highest level of sport, winning national and world championships of baseball, by the way, in the age of 50 and above. We're not talking about. Actually, you played against guys who were in their 30s, and you have been in 50 and above. But we're not talking about going out on a picnic and playing, hey, a little underhand softball. We're talking about throwing the ball overhand, catching fly balls, standing up with having 70-plus mile-an-hour and 80-mile-an-hour balls coming into your face. You never stopped.
You know, Steve Ellsworth, one of our outstanding pitchers back in the day, who pitched for the Boston Red Sox, mind you. When he shut it down, I tried to get Steve out playing. Steve, you want to play? He's like, zero chance I'm ever going to pick up a mitt again.
There you go. So he knows.
He's like you. He just shut it down. I'll go watch, but I'm never going to pick up a mitt again. So it's funny.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure Steve, by the way, what a good-looking man, good-looking family.
You know, I was actually a foot taller than him at one time.
Oh,
he blew me past me in one summer.
Well, the crazy thing is sometimes you see the tall guy, the 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", 6'8", 6'8", 6'9", guy, and they look like a coat hanger. It's like, look at that body. What? Geez, that's sad. You know, they go put three wallets in each pocket in their back to hold their pants up because they've got nothing back there. Steve Ellsworth is put together.
He would have been the best 3-point shooter.
Yeah,
but we couldn't get him inside to get a rebound.
Yeah.
He stayed out there and he wanted to shoot threes all day.
Anyway, so.
I had Mike Noakes show up. I had Dan Robinson, Brian Marsubian, Randy Azdor, another Bullard legend.
Yes.
And then, of course, all the ladies, we had a great time. It was, and you emceed the whole thing. It was a first class. Thank you to the
audience. I didn't know what to expect. We did a little brief, you know,
Teddy was awesome.
Like, I don't know what you'd call like a little dress rehearsal,
yeah,
if you will.
What
we're all, yeah, we did. And Pat Arax had so, Coach Arax was,
forget
was
about Donnie,
his top 10 list, but he had a few more on that top 10 list that he wanted to use, and they were all funny. We couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But I got a little brief description of everyone, what they were going to say. And to have a lineup of the eight individuals, then leading into your family that came up, and it was truly, thank you, it was world class. This was about as much laughter as I've had in a long
time. That's what all the emails and texts I got, they said they haven't laughed for three straight hours like that. Tessa even came from L.A.
Yes.
Drove in for the big party. So let's talk about St. Ann.
By the way, she looked fabulous. Everyone there did.
Yeah. We had some good-looking daughters, no doubt about it. Val was there. You brought your wife. She had a ball.
Yep.
So St. Joseph, they had a big game against Rigetti, and they're literally across the street from each other. That is a rivalry. Okay.
Yes.
We know about the, I think it's Ford Street, whatever.
Yeah, they march down the street, football games. It's great.
So this is the last game of the Mountain Division, and they're playing at St. Joe, Rigetti, basketball. It's a packed house. And Rigetti's student body started singing, where's your passport? Dun, 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 dun. Where's your passport? And the administration from St. Joe's went berserk, ran across the gym. Stop saying that. What's wrong with you? And then, of course, the left newspapers on the coast. It's a racist comment. How could they say that? It's a racist comment. I thought about it all day, and I finally had to put it on Twitter. How in the heck is this racist?
Yeah.
Because they're recruiting foreign players across the sea to come. And I said before, you know, when I played basketball in Bulgaria, the first thing I think about is St. Joe's on the coast. I got to go to St. Joe's and play basketball.
Okay, you had mentioned something about a clinic or something back there. I mean, is this stuff you're just pulling out, or are you, like, hearing stuff? Like
they had a coaching staff had a clinic in over, and I don't know. I'm not going to. I have no idea where.
Okay.
And that is a great place to recruit players.
Yeah.
You're
going to
have a clinic. Next thing you're going to figure out, hey, these aren't just kids coming over who can't speak English and want to come to America for a year.
Because
what I learned, if it's a public school like Madera South,
yeah,
you get a foreign exchange student. They can only be here a year. You go to a private school, you could stay forever.
Interesting. But my biggest concern for you, as it always is, that before we start indicting St. Joseph's for their...
I'm not indicting.
I know you're not, but you're saying, come on now. You got to expect, you've got to take that. If you're going to go out and recruit, as you said, foreign exchange students from Belarus and Bulgaria and everywhere else, wherever they're coming from, France, then you've got to be prepared that you know exactly how they got them there. Because there is a chance that you're going to get a phone call from someone at St. Joseph's. We had no idea. They actually, parents matriculated their way and said, you need to go to the coast and end up down here at St. Joseph's to help your education out because we're going to send you to America. We don't know that there was actually physically coaches in a different country trying to, you know, negotiate airfare so the kid can pack them up and come back to America with them. We don't know how that works.
I'd like to know how that all works, but that's why I wanted to bring it up on the show today.
Yeah.
Let's bring it up and have a discussion about it.
Because I got another one. We're going to take a break, but I'm going to tell you right now. That goes into what I've been saying, the biggest complaint I've been getting, and I've been on this fence for a while about what side do I really agree with. But after watching ESPN high school basketball tournaments during the holidays, I'm tired of watching it. I'm so tired of watching these schools that have, let's see, starting group, and we're going to talk about this at the break, but we're going to leave you with this. Starting group for our high school team, 6'8", 6'8", 6'7", 6'8". The 6'8 man is now only a junior. He is from Port Vallarta, Spain, in the forward spot. The 6'8 Belarus. The other guy from Italy. The other guy from Chicago. They're playing in Florida, by the way. The other guy from Los Angeles. The whole team were exchange kids.
Great
debate. And kids from different states. Are you kidding me? That's not a high school basketball game anymore. Turn it off. I'm not watching it.
And who's paying for all this? I'd love to know. We're only here until 5:30. Remember, Fresno State baseball tonight. UC Irvine's in town on the grand opening of 2020. Of course, Paul Leffler will have the coverage. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind.
Welcome back. It's The Zone. It's the Pag Meter. It's Matty J. Nick Anderson on location. Thank you to Fashion Furniture. The President's Day sale going on all weekend long. Get on over here. They got it covered. I want to thank the Chicos Mario Vitucci with the chicken alla panna. So thank you, Mario. That's my favorite, by the way. I can eat that all day. Thank you to Mario. Downtown to visit Daryl. And also Sean Van Ness, and Kings Canyon and Clovis. And you don't need to go Valentine's. Get on over there early. It's Valentine's Day, and it's going to be packed. And Matt used to have the World Sports. This is the day it is packed.
It is. Yeah. This is it. I have no idea what you just said. I just got an important text. Some people are responding in about what was going on at St. Joe's and foreign exchange type students playing for athletic programs.
What's your thinking about that? Let's say Madera South is taking on Templeton, and you find you got 14 players from another country coming in, and you're like, wow, that's kind of great to go to. I can see Templeton's close to the coast. I get it all that. St. Joe's is on the coast.
I don't.
Is that good, bad, or ugly?
I have gone around in circles on this. I don't really want anyone who has a upper advantage, since we're all into this competitive equity model now, whether you like it or not, that's who we are in this state of California. I don't want anyone who has a distinct advantage over me, period. I don't want anybody from the Houston Astros trying to steal my signs. I don't need anybody who's got more horsepower who can go recruit, you know, young basketball players from Real Madrid soccer players coming in for a year. I don't want anybody that can get an advantage on me, period. So if you don't work in the general public school business that I'm involved in, then I don't want to see you on my schedule. I don't want to play anymore. I want to compete against like-minded, like-set-up high school programs. Whether they're better than me or not, I don't care. But when I got to play a team that had a guy that just transferred to his senior year to here, and he's coming in, and he's an athlete, a great athlete, I don't want to see him on my schedule, period. Unless they want to break it down, and I'll match my wits of being a funny guy with at least giving me the ability legally to go out and do what I would like to do if that's where we're going with this. I'll go out and recruit. I'll go out and find a way to rent a van and bring kids from all over the county to come to my school. If that's where we're going with this, at least someone needs to let me know it's okay now. But in the meantime, that is not legal, so I'm not doing that. But I don't want to play squads that are overloaded, over-outfitted over the team that I represent in my community, because that's the only difference. At Edison, that school wasn't all my community. I had kids that were transfers who were coming. I was part of that side. And did I complain? Heck no, because that was an accepted practice. Central does it. Memorial's doing it. Bullard gets a few transfers in. Edison was getting transfers in. I read about school in Bakersfield get transfers in. I'm competing D1. I'm going for the big prize. Where I'm at now, we don't do that. We lose players to Memorial and to other schools in Madera all the time, all kinds of schools. We should not be playing those schools, period. That school should not be in my vision of anything. It's just, that's my only area I draw the line on. So St. Joseph, if they've got a five-man team of foreign exchange students who all can ball, they shouldn't be playing against a school that has not the same weaponry to go up against
them. But they are in Division I now. Does that mean anything?
No, because there's still schools in Division I that have to be in Division I that are still doing it the old-fashioned way. You live in my neighborhood, you go to my school. That's what the boundary says.
But it's a private school, so how are they going to get kids in then?
All private schools play each other. Don't schedule me. Play. I love it. I will support you on radio all day long. You know that. I love San Joaquin Memorial. I really do. Heck, I was up for the job. Let's just call it what it is. When you're my age, you can say whatever you want because it's all true. I was petitioning at one point in my career to be the San Joaquin Memorial football coach with an idea of, now, if we want to talk real about the future, are we going to try to follow a modern day or St. John Bosco model? If you are, please count me in if you'd have me because I'd love to be a part of something like that. So I admired what they're doing. It's helping their school out. It's giving them better tuition. I admire that. Go do that.
Well, they took your foundation.
But don't play a little school in Madera or somebody and act and you lose, win by 50 and feel like you've done anything. Go play St. John Bosco in modern day. And you guys can all live in that world. That's how I believe.
I totally agree.
You know.
So are we going that way to have an open division in every sport?
Apparently we are. It sounds that way. We should.
I mean, you just said a little while ago before the break that Florida – they have those private professional high schools. They're really junior college tournaments.
Max Preps and USA Today newspaper, and they all have the top teams in high school basketball. And you look at the list, that is not even close to being a high school team. If I could bring in if my headquarters are in, I'll use any city. Let's use Los Angeles, California. And when my starting lineup is announced from Detroit, Michigan, a 6'8 forward, that every kid's not from my community, That's not a high school basketball football program anymore. That's a different level. Don't even think about walking into my world of general public school stuff. It's ridiculous. And they keep promoting it like this could be the best high school team ever. Oh, give me $1 million, I'll give you the best high school team ever. That's all they're doing. They're giving the kids a great education, however they're doing it. But they don't belong in the high school model. That high school model is dead to them. They
well, do you think Max Preps and even Cal High Sports does that for to get some, make them look good? Oh, we've got Trinity Prep number one.
Because,
that's not really
because,
a school.
Because Max Preps and those companies like that are paid on this idea that they represent high school athletes. No, they do not. They represent anybody that can help push their advertising and their budget. And if they can get on with a team, like some of these teams I'm talking about, IMG Academy and other schools like that, and they could be a part of that and put them in their rankings, it makes them look good. If they really want to do their job, they should have two rankings. The open best of the best privates, the best public schools in America. That's all I like to see right now.
This is why
I love them both. I'll cheer on and talk and get coaches in here and talk on our radio station from the private schools. Love them. But don't try to talk on the same breadth of what the public school is out having to deal with.
This is why I don't want to see Clovis West girls basketball ever play in the open division. Well, you've won too many. We got to move you up and play against the professional teams.
No.
I don't like that. Even though they won, and it's so great that 2017, Craig Campbell's Clovis West team won it all against the private professional high schools. Oh, I loved it.
But
it might never happen again.
Having said that, there's like anything in life, in business and life, there's always a few anomalies. Clovis West girls basketball, their model is so deep and so built on the youth and building their camps with their little Golden Eagles, playing hoops and doing all that hoopster, little hoopster stuff. But don't kid yourself. They get transfers too now.
Oh, of course.
They get transfers too now. This is not a first-time deal for them. They've got a load of talent that they've developed, and they deserve all that they're getting. I love them.
I guarantee
but
they're looking.
They're an anomaly. You think Central High School – no, Central High School's got dudes from Edison. They've got kids from all over the place. They've amassed an army over at Central too. Now, they're a public school. So there has to be some room for the Corona Centennial, the Central High School. They do belong in that division because they've obviously made it very clear. They accept transfers in.
I guarantee Clovis West girls basketball is looking at those sixth graders out there saying, hey, if you want to be at the next level, you need to come play with us. Yeah, and you can think, and I think you need to get a ring, part of that Central ring, because when you left Edison and that whole disaster of a principal you guys used to have, Edison's on his way down the volcano, looking down to Division II, Division III soon, and you need to get part of that ring because Central got hot when you left Edison. Do I have to turn your microphone down?
Central, whether they subconsciously or they did it physically or they did what most likely always happened, it happened to me with Edison. Those are parents. Where are we going to go now? Well, Grizzlies are starting to get it on. I love their swag. The Nike's got some good stuff going on, and they benefited greatly by the triangle, Washington Union, Edison, Central. Central's the hot soup of the day
No doubt. And then when we broadcasted that Central Clovis West game and all the parents and families coming to hug Manny J, I said, unbelievable. Look at what happened. Those are all Edison kids now, and they're loving on you. Let's talk a little basketball before we get out of here. We got about, 15 minutes left or so. Tomorrow we will find out where everyone's going for the playoffs. I pretty much can guarantee in the open division on the boys' side, it's going to be Clovis West, Clovis North, Memorial, and Royal Grande. And then we start, it's either number one seed on the Division One side. It's either going to be Clovis East, Bakersfield, or St. Joe's.
There'll be a one or two, either one of them. That's the top.
Yeah. On the girls' side, it'll be – Well, we're
Division two.
Yeah, but they're not open division. But thanks.
But
open division. We're not open. We're talking open division. And the girls' side on the open is Clovis West, Clovis North, Clovis, and Buchanan. Those will be your open.
Yep.
And then they'll have their own little tournament. And then we talk about division or Division one and who will be the number one seed.
Yep.
So we'll know tomorrow.
Yep.
So that's what's going on.
In Division two, to answer one of our guest answers.
They'll be the number one seed.
They'll be the number one seed in Division II. Roosevelt Rough Riders will be number one.
And that's where they want to be. There's a lot of teams that said, do not put me in the open division.
Yeah.
But I want to be. So Roosevelt has got an opportunity. And number two, it's a battle. So I want to thank Matty J. I want to thank
girls. Girls too. Roosevelt girls too. Wow.
Right, but they're not number one. And I will. You can go to the PAG meter. You can check it all out for you. Thanks to Bobby. Baseball coming up next with Paul Leffler. I want to thank Fashion Furniture, Helen and Agri Enterprises, and the DeChicos. Maddie, great job again. Bobby, good job. Tomorrow, just keep on with the PAG meter on Twitter, and you'll find out where the basketball rink or seedings will be all weekend long. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll see you soon on 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
Stay in the game.